Our meditation for this day of Pentecost will be based upon a reading from the book of Acts and primarily the reaction the disciples got to their speaking in various languages the gospel of Jesus Christ, how some heard and believed, while others made fun of what they were hearing. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is one in every crowd. Anyone who has ever performed or spoken in front of a large group of people can probably testify to someone then sharing a negative comment with everybody present, even though nobody had asked for or even wanted to hear their opinion. We sometimes refer to them as hecklers. This morning, we heard of such an encounter that occurred probably on the southern steps of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, also known at that time as the teaching steps, because most rabbis would preach and teach on them. While tradition and pictorial renderings have always placed the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus' disciples in the room where they had celebrated the Last Supper, most theologians, including myself, now believe that it may have actually occurred in one of the large meeting rooms that would have been available to groups at the top of those steps on the southern end of the temple complex. Those steps are still there, by the way. I've had the privilege of walking on them. Anyway, we're told that the disciples were gathered for the Feast of Pentecost, which was the celebration of the season's first harvest. Little did they realize that they were about to experience the first harvest of believers for the Christian church. We are told that there was suddenly the sound of a violent wind that filled the room that they were in, and then what appeared to be flames of fire appeared upon their heads. And suddenly the disciples found themselves able to speak in foreign languages they previously had not known. Now, one of the reasons why we believe that this all occurred in one of these rooms located on the outer perimeter of the temple complex is because a large crowd quickly gathered when they heard the commotion that was going on. Worshippers of the one true God who had come from just about every corner of the known world. Worshippers who would have been on the southern end of Jerusalem making their way from Solomon's Pool towards the teaching steps. And so, in all likelihood, it was here, at the top of these steps, that the disciples of Jesus, having stumbled out of the building, now confronted this assembly of onlookers who were dumbfounded by what they were hearing. And not just that they all heard these men from Galilee speaking in their native tongue, but they were also dumbfounded by what they were saying. That Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified unjustly not that long ago in that very city, and by the urging of the leaders and the people, cried out from the cross, "Father, forgive them." And then, just before giving up his spirit, he said, "It is finished." For indeed, his work of atoning for the sins of the whole world was finished at that moment. The disciples that day shared a message that Jesus' death on the cross had paid the penalty for every sin committed by every man, woman, and child of every age and of every language and nation, and that Jesus' resurrection and ascension back into heaven has shown that heaven was now open to every man, woman, and child of every age and of every language and nation. It was finished. His work of paying off our debt to God, a debt which we incur with every sin we commit, every thoughtless, mean-spirited word we utter, with every lustful glance we make, with every lie we tell, with all the times we make something or someone more important to us than God. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is paid in full, Jesus declared. But this good news, this gospel, will actually mean nothing unless men and women and children, whenever and wherever they are living, can actually hear about what Jesus has done for them and then brought to believe in him. For our Lord said that only those who follow him through this valley of the shadow of death will find their way to the Heavenly Father's mansion, which is in heaven. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, he said. And so to those who do not, and for those who do know, we must speak. And speak the disciples did that day, enabled by the Holy Spirit to declare the gospel, so that people of every nation and tongue could hear the wonderful news of sins forgiven and hopefully come to faith and be saved. Amazed and perplexed by not only the disciples' abilities, but also by the message they were sharing, the people asked one another, "What does this all mean?" Of course, there is one in every crowd, someone who chooses to make fun of those speaking of the resurrection from the dead. "They've been drinking," some shouted. "How else can one make sense of such nonsense?" It's pretty easy to get shouted down. It's even harder when people make fun of you. It's pretty difficult not to get intimidated and discouraged when you're on the receiving end of somebody else's hatred. Yet, I have to remind you that Jesus did tell us that sharing the gospel wasn't going to be a popular thing in this fallen world, but that it needs to be shared regardless of its lack of popularity. For it is the only way by which people can come to faith and be saved. There is a true story from many years ago about a theologian making a boat trip, and he just happened to be sitting next to a young lady who, when she found out who he was, peppered him as to why he believed in the fairy tales of the Bible, as she put it, the six-day creation, God becoming a man and dying for the sins of the world. "It's all a bunch of nonsense," she insisted. The theologian did his best to answer her questions, but to no avail. Then at one point in their conversation, he said to her, "I must say, you must be a very inexperienced boat traveler. I noticed when you got on the boat that you put your left foot on board first. Ha! Everybody knows that you'll have bad luck if you do that." The next day, when they were reboarding the boat to continue their journey, the theologian noticed the same young woman nearly tripping on the gangplank and falling into the water in her effort to step on board the boat with her right foot. Remarkable, the theologian thought to himself. She believed that he was infallible in something he had just made up with regards to which foot to board a ship with, while at the same time refusing to accept the authority of the scriptures, which have been proven to be reliable again and again. Such are the challenges of sharing God's holy word. Folks will believe just about anything except when you tell them it's from the Almighty. Sharing the gospel isn't always going to be easy. Sometimes you might even get ridiculed for it. Yet we must be persistent in our witness, for that is how people will be won over to Christ. Now, we may not be able to share the message of the cross in 6 different languages. We may not be very eloquent in our speech. We're maybe not theologians. But what we can do is articulate Christ's presence most effectively with a steady, faithful Christian life that others can see, in a willingness to listen and help someone who is troubled, in a smile and a friendly hello, with a hug to let folks know that you really do care about them, inconsistently backing out of your driveway on a Sunday morning to go to church, offering a prayer in people's time of need. The bottom line is, people will listen to you and what you have to say if they believe you really do have their best interests in mind, and that you're not just trying to sell them something they don't think they need. But when you share Christian love with someone, yeah, you know what? You just never know. You might also reach them with a message of the cross. I mean, despite the hecklers on that first Pentecost, over 3,000 people still heard the message and came to faith. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for saving faith and for your promise to me of eternal life. Make me ever grateful for these blessings and increase my willingness to serve you, especially to witness your love for all sinners. I pray you, support me with your power as I witness to others. Forgive me when I miss opportunities to share your message, and give me courage to speak up. Increase my concern for lost souls and my desire to witness. I often do not know what to say, but you know. I am often weak and afraid, but you are strong. So make your love my love, your words my words, your strength my strength, and help me to speak the right words at the right time so that the events of Pentecost may continue even in my own life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.